Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have today of looking into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, the Word that is able to make us wise unto salvation, the power of God unto salvation, the incorruptible seed that brings the new birth, and the Word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway after we are born again. Now, Lord, as we study, direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're studying the grace of God and salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus. On the last broadcast, I emphasized and enlarged upon the fact that all are included in the grace of God. Not one is excluded. Everyone is included. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that since Christ died for all, then we conclude that all die, all are dead. In other words, he died for all, and the wages of sin is death. And if Jesus died for all, and that's what 2 Corinthians 5:14 declares, he died for all, then all are dead. He could not have died for all if all had not been dead, because he died to pay sin's wages. And when the wages of sin is paid, you can't pay. I'll point that out in a moment. 1 Corinthians 5:12, one man brought sin and death upon the human family, Adam. Romans 11:22, all are in unbelief. God puts all in the same category. All are concluded in unbelief, that God might have mercy upon all that believe. In Galatians 3:22, all are under sin. There is not a single solitary person in this world today, nor has there been one except Jesus, God in flesh, that never sinned. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now then, all are dead, all are in unbelief, therefore we're all in one category. Now, a gift ceases to be a gift if it is paid for before it is received, at the time it is received, or after it is received. Now, why do I say that? Let me emphasize, a gift ceases to be a gift if it is paid for before it is received, or at the time it is received, or at any future date after it is received. Then it ceases to be a gift. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Some of you people are saying, Oliver Green is making salvation too easy. Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Let me serve notice on any man or woman, anyone, anywhere, who accuses me of making salvation too easy. Let me emphasize that it took the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God to make salvation possible. And when the sovereign God of all eternity made salvation possible, he didn't leave anything for you to do to add to his provided salvation. I'm going to write a book one of these days on insults hurled into the face of God by men. And I tell you, men in the pulpit today, men on the radio, men through the printed page, hurl many insults into the face of Almighty God. Now, I said all that to say this. In Ephesians 2:8, and this is one of the most familiar verses in all the Word of God concerning the grace of God, we read, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we read also in John 10:28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. All right, we read in Romans 6:23, and this is the text the minister used the night that God saved me 34 years ago. I heard this text, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now later in the series, I will enlarge upon some of the things in these verses that I'm not going to talk about today. But I would like to say this about this verse. I didn't realize the night God saved me, I didn't realize fully what that verse of Scripture said to me. Maybe I should change that statement. I still don't realize fully. But I do say, after these many years of studying the Word of God and attempting to preach the Word of God, I realize a little more fully, not completely, but a little more fully, what God said to me that night and what God did for me. Now, the wages of sin is death. Now, that's clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, God gives eternal life, but how does God give eternal life? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, listen to me, beloved. Listen to me just 1 minute. If the gift of God is eternal life through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I ask you, why do hundreds of men and some women teach and preach and write and cry aloud that to get upon your knees or to sit in a chair or to stand at an altar or to ride down the highway in an automobile or be flying in an airplane or on a ship at sea, when you say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my heart and save me by grace, save me, forgive my sins. Now, I'm doing this because there is no set prayer, no set way to call. Whosoever shall call upon him, Lord, shall be saved. But it doesn't give us a formula. It's true that the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But you say that in those words, if you say it in other words, or if you, in your heart, say it in your heart, even though you don't utter words. I repeat, there is no set formula. There is no written prayer that a sinner prays to become a child of God. But if you say in your heart or with your lips, in some form, I am a sinner, I need salvation, I want salvation, I believe Jesus is the Savior. Save me, Jesus. If you say that in some form, I mean words that you speak from your heart, I promise you, you'll never go to hell. You'll never burn in the lake of fire if you sincerely in your heart invite Jesus to save you. Now, I don't care what people say. It doesn't make a difference. I made the statement the first day of this series that religion and churches and ministers and evangelists have done an excellent job at confusing people. But God Almighty is not the author of confusion. No, sir. Now, we are saved by God's grace through works. You can't do one single solitary thing. You can't give one single solitary thing. You can't live one single solitary thing. And you can't be one single solitary thing to add anything to redemption. Now, the sad, sad truth is there are hundreds of church members and some Christians who do not know the difference in redemption and stewardship. Salvation from the penalty of sin and salvation from the power of sin. They don't understand because they haven't been taught. They go to church where the minister had much rather talk about the denomination and brag on the denomination and brag on the machine and keep the machinery running. They'd much rather do that than to lift up Jesus and feed the lambs and the babes in Christ the Word of God that will nourish and cause the Spirit to grow. Now hear me and listen very carefully. Jesus paid the sin debt. It is paid in full. And you, upon faith, that is, when you hear the Word of God, now it's hard to get all that should be said in one message, but faith comes by hearing and hearing with the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God that God loved you, Jesus died for you, and you believe that and you receive Jesus, when you do that, God's grace saves you. You are saved by God's grace. Now, the fact that you are saved does not incur debt between you and God. Now, hear me well. Listen carefully. Grace does not demand that you pay anything. Then you say, Brother Green, why do you preachers keep crying money, money, money? Give, give, give. Tithe, tithe, tithe. And gifts, gifts. Listen, You give, you don't pay. You say, I pay my tithe. Then you'd be better off to keep it because you would have lived. And if you pay it as you pay your light bill, if that's what your tithe, as you pay your light bill. Now, the reason you pay your light bill, you've used electricity that belongs to the power company. And you've used their wires to bring it to your house and so on. And you pay that electric bill. You pay your water bill if you live in the city. And if you have city water, you pay because you've used water. But let me tell you something. When you accept the grace of God, God does not demand that you pay anything. Now, here's the secret. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, those of us who were reared on the farm, we appreciate this maybe a little bit more than some who are on the farm. Maybe you did not have a certain line of chores to do on the farm. Now, at my dad's house, you worked. You worked. I mean that. Now, my dad wasn't a slave driver. And he wasn't a dictator, no sir, but his children respected him. And every one of us had our chores to do. And of course, when there was work to do in the field, we worked in the field. And my dad, in the right way, was proud of his family because we worked. We all worked, every one of us. And we knew what we were supposed to do, and we did it because our daddy required it, and we loved him because he was our dad. We didn't work because he stood over us with a stick. My dad, in fact, it's the truth. My dad never whipped any child that he ever had because the child did not work or do the chores that the child was supposed to do. Now, we worked for my dad because he was our daddy, and we loved him, and we respected him, and he gave us a home and food to bed to sleep in, and he bought our clothes, and therefore we worked for him. Now, you listen to me. I'm preaching, number one, I love God, I love Jesus, and I was saved through the preaching of the gospel. God's minister preached the word, and I heard it, and God saved me. And I've been preaching this glorious gospel 34 years. But I have not preached one sermon, I have not preached one sermon or conducted one revival with the hope of adding anything to my redemption. When God redeemed me the night that I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and with a broken prayer, I asked God to save me. God saved me, God redeemed me, and God created me in Christ. Now wait, we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We are members of His body, and we sit together right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we are hid with Christ in God, and we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Now that's all in the Bible. Ephesians 4:30 and Colossians 3:3, Colossians 1:13, and so on. We are, and Ephesians 2:6 and 7, we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and our citizenship is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. Now, we are His workmanship. My new life, that is, the new spirit, the new heart, the new life that God gave me the night God saved me, God created that heart in me. God put within me a new heart. The only difference in me and the Oliver Green that drank and gambled and cursed and lied and cheated, and I did everything the devil ever asked me to do but kill. And I was a coward, or I would have killed. But the Oliver Green now and the Oliver Green then, the only difference, God put a new heart inside my bosom. God put a new spirit and a new heart and a new spirit, then I had a new life, because from the heart proceeds the issues of life. Now God created that heart in me. That new heart did not become mine because I joined the church, because I was baptized, because I promised to do better. Let me make this statement. The grace of God does not make up that which is lacking in the unregenerated man. Now, let me show you what I mean. Now, I'm for the poor. God knows my heart as I make this statement. If there is anybody on the face of the earth that has a warm spot in my heart, it is the poor, because most times little children suffer most. Little precious children. And I have a warm spot in my heart for the poor, and I have a warm spot in my heart for the illiterate, and so on. But we're trying to clean up the world. We're trying to build superhighways and have a program that will erase poverty and fear, and so on. Now, let me say this to you, beloved. Let me say this to you now. It doesn't make any difference how many slums we erase from the face of the earth and how many superhighways we build and how many billions we give to poverty. You'll never solve the problem of man. The problem is in the heart, not the outward, but in the heart. Now, I said all that to say this. We say if we can do away with the slums and if we can give people better homes and give people a certain income, so much money each month, then that will solve the problem. No, that'll stop the riots. Oh, no, I beg your pardon. Listen, the only thing that'll solve the problem of man, the only thing that'll bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and the only thing that'll raise poverty is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the only thing that will ever solve man's individual need is a new heart and a new spirit. But let me say this, cleaning up the outside, building a new home and having a bank account and having a guaranteed income will not make a man happy or will not take a man out of his spiritual need and supply the need that'll make him happy and satisfied. Now, here's what I mean. The grace of God does not supply that which is lacking in a man. The grace of God puts a new heart in a man. And when the grace of God puts a new heart and a new spirit in the individual, then that person is a new creation, and everything becomes new, and all things pass away, then, of course, that person is happy and content and at peace with God and with man. Now, God gave up flesh in the Garden of Eden. God said, Adam, you're going back to dust. But God provided salvation for the spirit of Adam. The flesh goes back to dust. The spirit goes back to God that gave it. Now, you remember this. The grace of God does not supplement. The grace of God does not that which is lacking. The grace of God puts within you a new heart, a new spirit, and creates a new creation in the secrets of your soul, and you become a new man in Christ Jesus, and the old man passes away. All right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God's miracle, the miracle of the Holy Ghost, the spiritual birth, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, faith without works is dead. A man that joins the church, a woman that joins the church, a person that joins the church, and they say, I've become a Christian, and then they don't attend church, they do not give, they do not do anything, I mean by that. They can't give, they can't sing, they can't testify, they can't do anything. They go to church two or three times a year, mark it down. They join the church, but they were not created in Jesus. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you'll work. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Not to add to your redemption, but to glorify God. We glorify God through our good works. We let our light shine that men see our good works and glorify God. We work because we love Him. We work because Jesus is our Savior. We do not work to be saved, and works do not add anything to our salvation. But we will be rewarded for our faithful works in the name of Jesus. But let me hasten to say again, faith without works is dead. And the person who claims to be a Christian or who announces that they are saved, but they never prove it by good works, by good giving, living, doing, that is, in the community, in the church, I promise you, that person has never been born again. A person who is genuinely saved by God's grace will work, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Father, help precious church members to see the difference between redemption and rewards, salvation and stewardship. Help Christians to be faithful in stewardship. Help sinners to cry out to God for saving grace. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.